الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم. يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. أياما معدودات. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم سلمنا لرمضان وسلم رمضان لنا وسلمه لنا متقبلا. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام وصدق الله وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Many years ago in Richmond, a little town in KZN, there was a Muslim brother, but unfortunately was running a brothel, a shabi. But when the month of Ramadan came, he closed it down. He did not operate it at all. His patrons, all local people, they should tell him, you don't drink, you don't have anything to do with this. We, it's for our sake. So why don't you carry on? He said, no, the month of Ramadan, the respect of the month of Ramadan. It happened that he passed away on 27th Ramadan. And in a very good mort he got. So there are great lessons for us to learn. One is that the main lesson, nobody should ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Those people who are very far from deen at the moment, far from Ramadan also, far from fasting, namaz, but they must not lose hope at all. And it is for us also to learn a lesson, not to look down upon such people. Whoever it is, we don't know whose condition is what by Allah Ta'ala and how our mort is going to come. So we must never look down upon anyone. Another great lesson that we should not now think that Allah made fadl on him. So we are making namaz also, we are keeping roza also, we are appreciating Ramadan how we can and as much as we can. So we don't have to worry. If a person takes that attitude, he'll go backwards. And he'll always be going backwards. But that, and those are things, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has written, that it is, Allah is the absolute owner. And he can do as he wants to. Who he wants to, he forgives. And who he wants to, he can take to task also. So we shouldn't depend on such things. We don't know whether Allah will have that same for us, our condition will be like that. So we have to keep on trying our best. Do everything we have to do. Try and do it the best. And so we shouldn't, nobody should lose hope. And those who are doing, we shouldn't become arrogant also and boastful. I'm doing so much. I'm reading so much Quran Sharif. I'm making so much zikr, etc. Whatever Allah has given tawfiq, we don't know. And we should never look down upon anyone. Allah give us tawfiq to move forward. Everyone, the person who is very far away also. In fact, Hazrat Maulana Idris Kandelvi, Rahmatullah Alayhi, writes that Allah Ta'ala's mercy, there are no limits to His mercy. Hazrat wrote that if a person does something with the wrong intention, we know our intentions must be right, and he's doing the wrong thing also. With the wrong intention and he's doing the wrong thing, Allah even forgives such people. So nobody should ever lose hope whatsoever. So, but at the same time, we have to try our best. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is that great, kind, merciful being that whatever we will try, Allah Ta'ala will give us a reward. وَلَنَزِّيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ What they did, we will give them a reward much more better. So we have to endeavor and try our best all the time. Not just sit down that Allah forgives very easily so we don't have to worry. We don't know whether. And we read on the other case that Allah takes people to task also. So we have to try all the time. Allah give us tawfiq inshallah. The Quran Sharif, Allah, what a beautiful kitab Allah has given us in every aspect. The composition, the arguments forwarded by the Quran, the teachings of the Quran Sharif. What we will be starting to read from tonight, Laysal Birra an tuwallu wujuhakum, the second quarter, and it is the second half of Surah Baqarah also. This is Ayatul Birr. Ayat of all the good deeds to be done. And in this ayat, whoever practices on this becomes from the abrar. He becomes from the righteous and the pious. And in this one ayat, Laysal Birra, Allah Ta'ala is given the index of all the good work that a person should do. After that, the first thing Allah mentions is about qisas. That is, if somebody murders somebody, then the murderer's life must be taken. And in there is a lot of detail and the wrong practices of the people of before, etc. But Allah Ta'ala says, when you take the life of the murderer, a life for a life, there is life for you. That is, life is preserved for everyone. If in the world today, just the death penalty, the death penalty as it is known in Roman law and Western world is not the Islamic death penalty. Islamic death penalty is completely different from their death penalty. But even if they just reintroduce the death penalty, murders will be cut minimum by half, much more than half. Just by passing the law, it already murders will be cut. But when they have abolished the death penalty, and they brought, and this is the system of Allah which works. As you move further from the right and the truth, you become, you do the wrong things, you become more stupid. Now in place of that, they have given for a person who has murdered, found guilty, evidence is everything there, 5 life sentences. Which is the one big joke. What does 5 life sentences mean? Who's going to live for 5 lives? And he's going to pass his 5 life sentence. Or they give him a penalty, 200 years imprisonment. Who's going to live for 200 years? It's one whole big farce and a whole big joke. But if the death penalty is there, just the fear of the death penalty already, and when the death penalty is meted out as Islam has shown, then we find hardly any murders take place. After years and years, somebody commits a murder, and then when the death penalty, the Islamic death penalty is executed, you find a murder. And the result of that is a little bit more broader, that according to their system, we find that the law-abiding citizens are all living like prisoners in their house. All have got burglar gates, burglar bars, burglar systems, all that. They are living like prisoners. And the law-breaking citizens, the wrongdoers, they are walking on the streets freely. They nobody do nothing for them. They are walking around freely. And this also, we become more stupid, that we think we have become more sophisticated and more, we are conscious of our security, that we go and live in this estate, where the security is much more. So you're putting yourself in a much more bigger prison. So in this way we are always going backwards. And a proper Islamic system, if the chopping of hands have to come, that also with all the evidence and everything, you'll hardly find any crime taking place. when a journalist went to Afghanistan after they had established the Islamic Emirates of Afghanistan, the journalist asked them, "You have established Islamic law, what did you benefit from it?" So the person asked him, "Do you want your answer in theory, must I explain to you, or practical, must I show it to you?" He said, "Show it to me." He took an attaché bag and filled it with $100 notes. How many dollar notes in there? And he left it at a bus stand. And he said, "We'll come back after 3 days and see what happened." After 3 days, they came and found it 100% still just as it was. Nobody took it. This is what, when Islamic law, we have seen with our eyes, those days in Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, the jewelers, with the jewelry, at the time of namaz, they just throw one cloth over it. Worth how many thousands, millions of rand, but just one cloth. And they go for namaz and with ease, no worry whatsoever. Now with all the false security systems, which is just anyway, everyone knows with all the security systems, crime has not decreased. The crime has increased in the world. And it has become more sophisticated. So it clearly shows we are not following the right path to stop crime. The right path is truly the Islamic system. We follow that system that will not reduce. It will almost completely remove crime completely. The next law Allah Ta'ala gave after that is about inheritance. The Islamic law of inheritance came later. But this was the law when still Allah did not give the Islamic law that everyone must make a will. And he must then, and it was at his discretion. He could give his father how much, his mother so much, his family people so much, all that. And in there Allah said, by doing your will properly, bil ma'aruf, and you don't do anything wrong, there is life in your wealth. And life is one thing there in your wealth, that when it your wealth is pure, it is untainted, it is halal, then so lot of barakat comes in your life. So that is the life will come into you when your wealth is pure and clean. And for that one major thing is inheritance. And we know very sadly how many cases it's a daily thing that people, the wills that are made, the wills just get missing. Nobody knows where's the will. And forged wills, forged signatures, in which lawyers also get involved. And now that whole inheritance thing is gone haywire. And the people are living now on haram. Haram, for a little while, is glitterous and glamorous. But when it raises its ugly head, even for those people themselves who are enjoying that haram, it is destruction for them and for everyone else also. And what is halal, you will live within your limits properly and barakat will come. And such barakat which you cannot imagine also. So life is in there. Then the third command Allah gave after that is of fasting. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyam. So yeah, also Allah shows that in fasting there is life for you. And that is the real life of the ruh, the soul. The soul, because 11 months we are feeding the body all the time. And not only the basic food, but all the extras also. How many extra meals we have in between. Some tea time we have, some this time we have, some snack time we have, all the extras. And in all the extras also, all the extras. So the nafs has become very bold. And it has overtaken the ruh, because we were not feeding the ruh. The ruh was like this. The basic, if we did, those few people who observe salah, etc. And only one command. The pious people are those who observe salah. And when it comes to monetary dealings, even the pious falter. When it comes to social dealings, mu'asharat, almost everyone falters in there. And when it comes to akhlaq, character, adab, they are hardly a person then. So just when we have been feeding the nafs all the time. So the nafs has become strong. An example of this is A person owns a house, beautiful, double-story mansion. He's got an outbuilding and he saw somebody is desperate. He needs a place, a little shelter to put his head under and have a small place. So he gives him, rents that place to him. Very nominal rental also. But that person slowly, he's become strong. And the owner of the house is a weak person. And he's becoming weaker as he's growing older, whatever. And that person eventually forces him out of his house. And he puts him into the outbuilding, in the small little place at the back. Now, this person, so Allah gave the month of Ramadan, that person must become strong again. It's a double-edged sword. This person will become weak, yes. And that rightful person will become strong. And he'll be able to reclaim his house again and come in. So the ruh has become weak. And by roza, the roza does a double job. It weakens the body, the nafs, and it strengthens the ruh. And the ruh now, once again, it can overtake and control the nafs. And the twin brother, ulama have written, the twin brother of the nafs is shaitan. These two were born together. And they work very much hand in hand. And the nafs is that it only wants the things of this dunya. And shaitan also just encourages, makes a person oblivious of akhirat, makes a person oblivious, unmindful of Allah's existence, Allah's control, that a person even negates Allah's existence. Because then he has a free reign, he can do as he wants to. There is nobody to watch me, I can do as I want to. And he thinks I'm clever when really he is only shrewd. He's a shrewd person. It is very wrong to say people who do wrong things, non-believers, are clever. They are shrewd people. Shaitan is not intelligent, is not clever. And intelligence and memory and deep understanding are all different things. And all this comes when we obey the commands of Allah. Allah gives intelligence also. Allah gives foresight also. Allah Ta'ala gives good memory also. All this comes. So this month is the time that Allah will make the body weak. And when the body becomes weak, the ruh will become strong. And then the ruh will overpower the body also, and it will overpower shaitan also, and with ease. This is a month if we appreciate this fasting. The ruh is like we haven't been feeding it. Even those of us who are making namaz, but we know we're taking shortcuts in namaz also. Even in quantity, Zohar is 12, a very good musalli reads only 10. Jummah is 14, and we'll see hardly anyone reads 14 rakats. The most he will read is his 12 rakats. So we are the ruh, we have been weakening. It has gone in a slumber, in a state of sleep. It has become unconscious. It's gone in a coma. And the body we have been feeding all the time. So the nafs has overpowered the whole body, the ruh. And shaitan is helping the nafs also all the time. So they have overtaken everything. Now this is that glorious, great month that Allah has given to bring light in the ruh again. Just as life, if you follow the laws of Sharia, and a life for a life is taken, and the laws of inheritance are done properly, and your money is clear, then the second half of having a good life, your money is halal, and you buying halal also. You are particular what you eat also, not just from the takeaways, not what is certified halal. When we were still young, we were studying in Mias Farm, Ratif Al Islamic Institute. On occasion, one of the ustads sent us on some errand, and we were young boys, so we enjoyed driving, and we got a car to drive. It was a combi, and what power has that old combi? It's not the present day one. No power also, but as we were going past Kialami, the racetrack is just around there. So we saw the gates are open. And as young boys, it's an ideal occasion. So we went in and we went on the racetrack. And how the racetracks are, we never knew before, but at that time we saw everything. Anyway, at the ending point or starting point, the South African Bureau of Standards, SABS, the South African Bureau of Standards, they were doing a test on the car on the windscreen. that when it is moving at, I think it was perhaps 80 kilometers per hour, whatever it was, and a brick they have to throw on it to show how shatterproof it is. So the car was standing still, motionless, and they were throwing the brick. Whereas it had to be moving, and then we asked them, a young boy is inquisitive, asking questions. They say, we're doing this test, and we just certify that it is there. But it is, and if the test is not done right, it's only certified. The same way, so many foods are certified halal. But are they halal also? We should consider. Yeah, we have our brother Maulana from Australia, mashallah, and just for the sake of deen, mashallah, so many people are coming for the sake of deen, making hijrat. So he explained, and we know Australia, from going from one state to the other, one province to the other, their health regulations are so stringent. You can't take foodstuffs from one province, one state to another. They have all they've got that little dogs there that will come. One friend told us that he is there in Australia. He was crossing and the dog came and over it was by him. So the inspector said, looks like a lady inspector, you must be having something. So he said, I've got nothing. What was it? A burger. And in the burger, the lettuce leaf that was inside. The dog picked up that also. Even that is not allowed. And the penalties and fines are so heavy. But mashallah, when iman is there, then in that case also, for qurbani, for halal food, where the law does not permit it, but Allah's law is above every law. Man-made laws are nothing. Allah's laws are everything. And mashallah, we have such brothers everywhere. Once I was in the UK, and one Dawud, and he told that this is partridge bird, partridge, and chicken, home reared chicken, and slaughtered at home. I say in UK, where the laws are so strict, you are not allowed. If you want to slaughter, you have to go yourself to the butcher, to the abattoir. But you can't slaughter at a farm or anywhere. But when the person wants to, and Allah's help is there also. So the food, money must also be halal, and what we are consuming must also be halal. It doesn't help only that our money is halal, but what we are buying haram. Our money is haram, and with that we are consuming what is halal. So both things. So this is that month now that Allah Ta'ala, by inheritance, our money is pure. By the month of Ramadan, Allah purifies the body also. And for everything there is zakat. When a person gives the zakat of his wealth, then his balance of his money is protected also by Allah Ta'ala. And such a way it is protected. One of the principals of Saharanpur, Miftahul Ulum, he was in charge of the money also of the madrasa, and he kept it, no banks or anything in those days, in a little trunk, in a chest. And crooks came in, and he woke up at night, and they are crooks and we have come to rob. He says, there's the trunk, and all the money is kept in there. And the lock on it, a very simple lock that you can break very easily. Not a very strong lock or anything. And the trunk also just of zinc, not of solid steel or something. Like a safe in that, not like that also. Just an ordinary zinc trunk. And he said, you can try. And he went back to sleep. And till Fajr time, they couldn't break it. And they had to leave again. So what is halal? Allah protects. We give our zakat. Allah protects it. And not only Allah protects it, Allah gives barakat in it also. When we go in the wrong direction, the amount of security, we spend more money on that, on all our security, to protect that money. And it doesn't get protected. And we go more wrong, we take out insurance policies. Totally haram insurance policies. And insurance can never protect anything. And when something happens wrong, then they look for loopholes not to pay out. They don't want to pay out. So that is, we go in the wrong direction. Come to a'mal. A'mal are such things that whatever asbab we use, even the halal permissible asbab, which are permissible, but that also the crooks are 10 steps, 100 miles further ahead. They are much more ahead than that. But a'mal, they cannot come one bit close to a'mal. They cannot touch amal whatsoever. What is protected with amal and with all the requisites, don't have pride in you and don't think that I did this amal, nothing can happen. For those people whom Allah blesses with that level, that is a different thing. But all the time we must fear that I am very pious, nothing can go wrong in my life. What is our piety also? We have hardly got any piety. What are we being boastful and arrogant about? So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So anyway, when we give the zakat of our wealth, our money is protected and Allah gives barakat in that. And what is the barakat of money? The barakat is not that the zeros increase. A person got 20 rand, he adds 1 zero, it's gone 200. It's only a zero. He adds another zero, 2,000, 20,000, 200,000, 2 million. It's only zero. Zeros are zero. They won't do anything for you. Barakat in our money is that we are using it in good cause. We are investing it for our akhirat. We are earning more and more for akhirat. Not that we are driving more luxurious motor cars and we are living in big, big mansions or something and our lifestyle becomes more like the kuffar. All their holidays, etc., their brand names, their fashion, etc. come in our life. That is no barakat. That is all zero. But in fact, it is negative. It is nothing. Zero is that we are living nicely, comfortably, with ease and afiat, and we are spending in the path of Allah. We are seeing to widows, we are seeing to orphans, we are seeing to boreholes being dug for people, we are seeing to look after people, orphans, etc. That is what is barakat. Otherwise, there are many people who are doing two jobs a day. Some even 3 jobs, and one of the jobs is to be sleeping in a window, where people are wearing some clothes and that, fashion clothes, and sleeping. That is also one job, while they are sleeping, but they are doing 3 jobs at a time, and still they are short of money, and still they don't have, and the spending in the path of Allah, the thought can't come, when they are all the time in need still, and they haven't got anything. And then once when we were collecting for the madrasa, at the beginning stages, we went to one town and we went to one doctor and his surgery, state of the art, everything, his motor car, his house, everything. And we presented our case of the madrasa, if you want to take part in this, have an investment. So he said, all this I'm owing the bank. It's none of mine, all this. It's all on the strength of the bank. And what the interest I have to pay all the time, bond, mortgage, all the time from the bank, nothing is of my own. Next we went to a shop next to his surgery, and like the lights were hardly properly on, no proper lights also, no shop fitting also, everything like, and I thought, where we came here, we'll perhaps have to give them back. And with the doctor, when he told us his sad story, I thought whatever we collected, he's more in need. We give it to him, he can come out of his interest or something. And the next person, I thought we won't get anything, but he gave us such a big amount. And when you live according to deen, then Allah gives barakat, and you use it in the right way also. So this is that great month Allah Ta'ala has given us, and Allah Ta'ala addressed us as, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu. They are the friends of Allah. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, this address has come in the Quran Sharif about 88 times. And when Allah says, believers, then we are believers. So Allah is speaking directly to us. No wahi is coming to us. But Allah is speaking to us. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi says, when a person reads Quran Sharif and he takes a qasam, he spoke to Allah directly. He doesn't have to give kaffara. His qasam won't break. He's spoken to Allah. And where Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu. And also very interesting for the inheritance, Allah used the word kutiba alaykum, not ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, because it wasn't still the command of Allah, it was the preparative stage still. Ya Allah says, ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu. And Allah, the friend, Allahu waliyul ladheena amanu. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah Ali says that wherever ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu comes, understand that Allah is speaking to his friend. The believers are the friends of Allah Ta'ala. And a friend only wants good for his friend in every way. And if it is a friend of that level, somebody higher than you, much more superior in every aspect, age also, knowledge also, wealth also, influence also, context and position also. Who can be higher than Allah? And Allah has declared Himself as our friend. However, we should understand that Allah is declaring Himself as our friend. Not that we take Allah as our friend. Because in that case, as a friend speaks to a friend, he becomes informal, jokes also, he speaks anyhow to his friend, never ever the least but with Allah Ta'ala. Allah can address us as He wants to. But we got no right that we lose respect that Allah is my friend now, and I can speak as I want to Allah Ta'ala. No, we have to keep those adab and etiquette properly in mind. So anyway, Allah Ta'ala says, Kutiba, my friends, Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Rozas have been made farz upon you. Allah did not say, Kataba Allahu alaykum as-siyam. Kataba alaykum as-siyam. That I made rozas farz. Allah says, rozas have been made farz. Of course, it is only Allah who made it farz. It is from Allah Ta'ala. But Allah did not use that term. The reason for this is that a person, your beloved, and you say, my beloved has made life tough for me. Roza is uphill. It is strenuous. It is 30 days which we are used to our food, now don't eat. And you have to get up at sehri time, and you have to eat at sehri time, which your body is not used to also. It's not in vogue. Nobody else really eats 3 o'clock in the morning. These are different people. Badal al-Islamu ghariba wa say'udu ila al-ghuraba. The Islam started in that way, a different way, eating 3 o'clock and whole day not eating. So it is. And 20 rakats of taraweeh, which is a great mercy of Allah, but it on the nafs, it is hard. So Allah, You made this hard for us. Whole day no eating. Your wives, our husband and wife, hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahunna. You love one another. You desire one another. Allah said, no contact. Close intimate contact, whole day of roza, your halal wife is also haram for you. And your halal food, but your halal money and the food also halal. But during the day, all that is haram for you. So it is a bit difficult. So Allah says, it has been made for us. So your love relationship with Allah does not get tainted. That, Ya Allah, why did You put me to this difficult task? But it is only goodness for You. Like a child who has got a flu. And now most of the people got flu, and we just all this COVID idea. Forget the flu, every year comes. And it's just a flu. So just treat it as a flu and carry on with your life. Don't attach all these big things. And today became status to have COVID also. A person is like a status thing, I got COVID. Just it's a flu, treat it like a flu and carry on. And a flu, the best treatment. Allah give our Ustad, Hazrat Mufti Sanjali Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, lot of reward. He taught us lot of adab kitabs. In one of the adab kitabs, one instant story came that a poor person, a very like an ordinary person, like a villager, somebody, flu came to him. So he went and he sat on a hot day. He sat on a rock, hot rock. And he took oil, and oils also, different oils have got different effects and temperament. Oil that was very hot, he rubbed his body. And then he told the flu, addressed it, you thought I'm a rich man that I'll go under blankets, and I will pamper you. I will give you this treatment here. And immediately the flu also left him and went. That, yeah, I'm not going to get all now coffee and tea and everything. One time, when we were still young, just got married also, we were in Germiston, so got a little sick, coughing a little bit or sneezing, and I got under the blanket. Allah reward my ustad, Hafiz Muhammad Sallu Sahib Rahmatullahi was my neighbor also. He came home and he told me, come, get out, you can't be under the blanket, this is for rich people, we must carry on with our work. And we carried on and nothing happened also, and we got better and everything got well. Haji Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Ali, whenever in Mashura somebody decided you must give bayan, I'm not feeling well. He said, there is the treatment for it. You go and make bayan, and Abad we saw it. Just go and make your bayan and you get well after that. So we have become very, very meek and we are submitting to all these things. Be strong. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah has written, all halat, illnesses, financial problems, fight in the family, don't become weak and don't go down. Shaitan and nafs takes more advantage of you. Be powerful. And he says, not only for Muslims, even non-Muslims, every human being, Allah has given that great power. Use that power and be positive and move forward. You'll see the road just opens for you. And when you go back, you'll go further and further back. Self-pity is a thing which has overtaken the people. And that any problem, people don't think what I'm going through. What I am facing, people don't understand. Allah understands and Allah knows much more than you know your own condition. Move forward. Sahaba in what condition? But they should come for namaz also. They shouldn't stay at home. And not namaz only, jihad. Hazrat Jamuh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what was his condition? But he's gone out in jihad also. And when he said that I'm excused from jihad, his wife says, you're making excuses. You don't want to go. And he felt it so much, he went and he became shaheed. And he took an oath, I won't come back home again. And Allah took him in his path. So this is the path to follow. So anyway, what this rozat, Allah Ta'ala, when we give the zakat of our wealth, Allah, when we give the zakat of our body, that is keeping the roza, then Allah purifies the body also. The best health for a person is roza and tahajjud. Ramzan's rozas, which are farad, 3 rozas a month, Monday, Thursday rozas, tahajjud is a guarantee for good health. That is the way to go. But today us, the money is too much in our accounts, so we have to go and feed the doctor. And for legal matters, we go into court cases, and that's where our money, Allahu Akbar. One great Sahabi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when money came to him, he pushed it away, and he told his wife, and he read loudly, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raj. Asked, what happened? Amirul Mu'mineen passed away in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu. No, worse than that also. What, the Muslim army lost when they went somewhere in jihad? No, worse than that. What happened? Dunya came and wants to destroy my akhirah. Help me. She said, okay, we'll go. And they distributed it to the poor, widows, orphans. After some time, again Amirul Mu'mineen sent 1,000 gold coins to him. And Kruger rands, 1,000 Kruger rands. He told his wife, oh, destruction again has come. What must we do? She said, we need a servant in the house. We can buy some food, make our life. Say, no, let us use it for something better. What can be better? Let's return it to who gave it to us. Allah gave it, we return it back to Allah Ta'ala again. Then she said, okay, let's now go. Giving it to the orphans, giving it to the poor, giving it to the... just distributing it all the time. So this is, when we give the zakat of the body, then see our goodness will come in our life, barakat will come in our... the body will be used now, not to be pampering ourselves in bed with coffee and with ice cream and all the other things. It won't be, the money won't be used for holidays and for going and filling the coffers of the non-Muslims in all the resorts and living the wrong way of life. And we won't use it for stupid things like fashion and brand names, where we pay more money for a torn pair of jeans than a good pair of jeans. In fact, the jeans itself, we won't even think. But when our children, one old lady says, since our girls are wearing jeans, jeans and boots. Now jean and boot has come over them. Now they can't think for themselves. Everything upside down. All the wrong things they're doing, and they ask why everything we do is wrong. Why you stop it? You're doing the wrong things, must we say it right now? If a person is doing all the negative things, and he's, what must you say? You're doing right now. So carry on, because you're doing all the wrong things. If it's wrong, it's wrong. So this condition. And for a patch pair of jeans, for a torn pair of jeans, just brand name and just fashion, we are paying. Once we were in the UK, our host was an optician. So he said that one soccer player had scored a hat-trick at that time. And there was a pair of sunglasses with his name on it. He says when he scored his hat-trick, those sunglasses that were being sold at £50 at that time, at the same moment they went up to £500. And he said, I just had a few pairs and we just went away. All were sold. What stupidity. Just for sunglasses, just because of that brand name. Just that one idolizing. And this is, we say also, that person, that film star, that singer, that soccer player is my idol. What is an idol? A Muslim, an idol? An idol worship, one person. He went into a coma. And in his coma, Muslim young man, he went and he took that soccer player's name and he said, he's my idol. And he died in that condition. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Which direction? So Ramadan, Allah has given us for purification. Keep our rozas and keep them properly. And what is roza? That roza is not staying hungry. It comes clearly in the hadith. Many people get nothing from their fasting but just staying hungry. The inconvenience of being hungry, that's all they get. They get nothing from the ibadat of the night, but just discomfort. They were awake all the time. And because the ulama have written that we're keeping the roza, but we're not looking after our eyes, looking at haram, not looking after the tongue, the anger that is there, and the abuse of the with the tongue, our fingertips that we are talking so much prayer, all the time sending messages everywhere, what we are doing, forwarding messages, etc., all that, that is not roza. That is you just fooling yourself and you just stayed hungry. Roza is that you observe the laws of Allah Ta'ala. So we keep the rozas properly. With our eyes, roza of the eyes also. Roza of the tongue, of the mind and the heart also. Of the hands and legs also. Then see that roza, now the benefit of roza and fasting will come to a person. And then the taraweeh at night. That is the one main, the main distinguishing factor of Ramadan is the fasting of Ramadan. And then comes the taraweeh and 20 rakats of taraweeh. And this is from the time of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. We say it's from the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, but it can never be conceived. Any sahabi will do anything without he seeing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam having done it. And he doesn't ascribe it to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is all the discussions of the muhaddithin. But a sahabi, they only did what they saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do. So the 20 rakats, and what it is really, that Allah has given us the greatest closeness to Allah Ta'ala after iman, which we cannot see, we cannot feel it. It's in the heart of a person, is salah, namaz. And so 20 extra rakats Allah has given us. This is a great favor of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And in that, the closest a person is to Allah, the most close, intimate, a pure, clean, intimate relationship with Allah of the highest level of enjoyment is sajda. So Allah gave us 40 extra sajdas to become so close. And in the month of Ramadan, which is a month filled with barakat, nur, goodness in every way. So these are things that we should endeavor and strive for. Then tilawat of Quran Sharif. As much as we can, we should try and do. There were those buzurgs, Hazrat Shah Abdul Qadir Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali. Whole day and night was only tilawat of Quran Sharif. He shouldn't meet his murids also, close friends. Ramadan, we should try and cut down on phone calls also. Cut down on emails also. This is the time our connection with Allah Ta'ala. So all other connections as far as possible, unless very urgent or very important. But otherwise, just our connection with Allah. So you should only read Quran Sharif. And many great buzurgs, how much? Allahu Akbar. One time, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali informed his murids all, that Ramadan, see who can read the most Quran Sharif. At the end, Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, because of my weakness and laziness, I only managed 61 khatams. Wow. And with all his work, Jamaat Hidayati Bayan, that Hayatul Sahaba reading at night, with all that, he says, I only managed 61 khatams. And there are plenty instances for us to take inspiration, that we also, and it should not be that we don't make one khatam. minimum one khatam at least. And hafiz the Quran must do much more. And mashallah, there are people present now in our country who are reading one, making one khatam a day of Quran Sharif. So we should take inspiration from that, read a lot. And then after tilawat of Quran Sharif, dua. Dua is a great, great ni'mat of Allah tabaraka ta'ala. Narration of Tirmizi Sharif, Allah ta'ala is an embodiment of sharam and haya. To be shameful, bashful. And Allah is the embodiment of kindness and generosity. So whenever anyone picks up his hands to Allah, Allah cannot let it go empty. Like any person in this dunya, you know this is not a fake person. He is whatever he's making a story, he's collecting. But your nature is that you can't refuse him. Give him something also. Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali, many people should go those days to Makkah Sharif to collect. People had money there and they should use his name. And falsely, they should use his name. He should say, if I couldn't benefit anyone for his deen, at least some dunya's benefit somebody got through me. Well and good to that person also. So anyway, a generous, a kind person can't refuse anyone. And Allah Ta'ala, who is the embodiment, who is the disher out of generosity and kindness. Well, whoever has got generosity, kindness, shame, it is from Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't refuse the du'as. Allah Ta'ala accepts from our side, let us do what we have to do correctly. So du'as also, zikr of Allah. Zikr is a great, great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. And the main thing, to abstain from all types of sin. That is the greatest thing we can do. Whatever and everyone, don't think of the sins of other people. People who are not keeping rozas, that's their guna. People who are keeping rozas or not keeping them properly, that's our guna. People who are not making namaz, that's their guna. And we who are making namaz, but what kind namaz we are making, that's our guna. No concentration, devotion, shortcuts we are taking, and we're just making haphazardly up, down, just like an exercise, our namaz. All our deeni things, think of our gunas and stay away and make tawbah from all gunas and stay away. May Allah give us tawfiq. Appreciate this great month every moment. What an occasion. It won't come back. Ulama have written, in fact it's the subject matter of a hadith, that a person who misses a roza of Ramadan, though it is permissible for a sick person who is genuinely sick and excused, a person who is on travel, of shari'i travel, he can. But the barakat of Ramadan, though he'll keep the qaza afterwards, and he'll make up for it, but what the barakat of Ramadan was, you cannot get it out of Ramadan. So this is the time, make the maximum of it. Let us not lose out in any way whatsoever. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala accept all of us for His pleasure, and especially this month of Ramadan, let us really make the best of it. And make the dua also all the time, Allahumma sallimna li Ramadan. Oh Allah, keep us well in every way for Ramadan. There are people who have got the flu now, so now you can't do your ibadat. The flu is troubling you. So Allah keep us safe. Wasallim Ramadan lana. And keep Ramadan also safe for us. It, all conditions must not happen. Arguments, fights, etc. All things that come about in Ramadan. Now may Allah save us. You've got a court case. Or somebody in the family is in a hospital. Now you are spending your time there in the hospital. Looking after your family member. Allah keep the Ramadan also safe. وَسَلِّمْهُ لَنَا مُتَقَبَّلًا. And whatever we earn, that also stays protected. To make money is not so difficult. To look after money. To become a hafiz is not as difficult as to remain a hafiz his whole life. That he remembers also and he practices also. That is a hafiz who practices on what the Quran teaches also. So the Ramadan also, it's not so difficult to do the amal, though we lack in that also very greatly. But to look after that, the rest of the year, each day is not a license now that you go back to your old lifestyle again. And then you're going for holidays and you're doing all the wrong things. No, what we get in Ramadan, it must perpetuate, it must carry on. And we must become better and better every Ramadan. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.